culture war issues engulfed the VA's appropriations bill, and new policies on Navy shipbuilding proposed. All that and more today, July 28th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Simone Perez, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, House Republicans added even more controversial social issues into the Veterans Affairs authorization package. That's after President Joe Biden threatened to veto the legislation. The chamber advanced the $320 billion funding measure for the department for fiscal 2024. The final 219 to 211 vote was along party lines. If passed, it would give the agency its largest budget ever. The cost of the spending plan matches what White House officials requested earlier this year, but Democrats objected to provisions in the bill that would bar VA officials from providing abortion services, limit healthcare options for transgender veterans, and bar department facilities from displaying the LGBTQ pride flag. In response to those provisions, the White House on Monday issued a veto threat on the bill. And in response to that veto threat, House Republicans added even more controversial provisions. The added amendments would bar changing the department's motto to gender-neutral language, eliminate the department's diversity and inclusion office, loosen gun ownership restrictions for veterans found incapable of managing their estates, and prohibit any COVID-19 mask mandates. The measure now heads to the Senate, but Democratic lawmakers have already said that they would oppose many of the provisions that led to the presidential veto threat in the first place. Lawmakers are scheduled to go on a six-week recess starting Friday. When they return, they'll have fewer than 20 legislative days to reach an agreement on a budget deal or risk triggering a partial government shutdown. And in another important story, senators unanimously agreed to extend Buy American legislation. The amendment mandates that 100% of components for all Navy ships be manufactured in the U.S. by 2033. The Senate passed Senator Tammy Baldwin's amendment by unanimous consent in the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act. Her bill would require that 65% of components for all Navy ships are manufactured in the U.S. starting in 2026. That figure jumps to 75% in 2028 and 100% in 2033. It would allow the Defense Secretary to waive those requirements under certain circumstances, though, including if the Buy American requirements increase the total cost beyond 25%. Baldwin's home state of Wisconsin is home to the Fincantieri Marinette Marine Shipyard and naval vessel manufacturing company Fairbanks Morse. Naval ships that use engines from countries like South Korea, Japan, Finland, Germany, and Italy would eventually need to be built with engines sourced in the United States. Proponents of Buy American laws argue that they strengthen the industrial base by ensuring a steady stream of work for U.S. suppliers, but the U.S. has struggled to keep pace with its shipbuilding goals due to labor shortages. Opponents of the amendment say it could further complicate an already strained shipbuilding industry. President Joe Biden signed an executive order in 2021 during his first month in office to bolster Buy American requirements for federal contractors. But the Pentagon is shielded from many of those requirements due to several exemptions. In other news, we are continuing to showcase the 2023 Service Members of the Year by the Military Times Foundation. Now here's the 2023 Veteran of the Year.
I had a mentor to tell me you can never give away kindness. Kindness continues to come back, and I've lived my life that way. If your intentions are right, your service is going to come back to you. My name is Lindsey Streeter, retired Command Sergeant Major, United States Army. I enlisted at the age of 17. Mom's desire was that I stay at home until my 18th birthday. So I shipped out to basic training at the end of August as a nervous and bright-eyed 18-year-old, and life changed at that moment. My MOS at the time was a 76 Charlie. I was an equipment records and parts specialist, and I was going to get after the automated logistics for the Army in a maintenance capacity. About 6 years after enlisting, I found myself on a ready ramp at Hunter Army Airfield here in Savannah, Georgia, headed off to Desert Storm, and extremely nervous, but at the same time, overwhelmingly confident that the Army had prepared me and my unit to go fight and win that war.
Tonight, the Kuwaiti flag once again flies above the capital of a free and sovereign nation.
I was extremely appreciative of the way that our nation embraced me in coming back home. And I was ready for the next challenge. And that challenge came when I was selected to go into recruiting command. The Army Recruiting School, I would say, is the best leadership school in the world and has shaped me into the person that I am today. And I'm forever grateful. I now work for Bank of America, where I'm assigned as its executive for our Veteran Development Program. I look at the veteran community as it transitions from its respective branch of service and back into civilian life. And I help them with jobs, education, their overall wellness, and with their housing needs. 8 years ago, my wife and I founded a nonprofit called Quad E. Our mission is to bring healthcare to the underserved communities around Savannah. My wife went to heaven about 3 years ago, and I continue on her legacy through this work. I'm extremely excited about what we're doing in the local community with regards to Quad E. Well, those things keep me fairly busy, but nothing keeps me busier than the Savannah Hurricanes. It's a semi-pro basketball team that I bought the rights to and put here in Savannah. We're extremely proud of the work that we do in the community. I'm able to leverage the semi-pro basketball platform of players in the community with our local youth to make an impact. We know that if our kids can't see it, they can't be it. So I charge my athletes with being ambassadors in the community to help our youth. It's extremely important to me that I involve the veteran community in what's happening with the Savannah Hurricanes.
We want to recognize you. All of our veterans that are in the house, we have to
And so I provide about 300 home game tickets to our veteran community, and we look forward to those veterans showing up at our games and enjoying a free basketball game on the Hurricanes. I pride myself in not wasting actions. Understanding when I get up in the morning exactly what I'm here to do, what God's calling me to do, what my family's asking me to do, what my job is asking me to do, and aligning my efforts to ensure that they support those missions. I got that from the Army.
Also on your radar for today, the U.S. National Guard may be getting some new security partnerships. Switzerland, Finland, and Sweden are considering joining the Guard's Security Partnership Program in an expansion of American military ties across Europe. National Guard Chief General Dan Hokanson announced the discussions with each country in remarks to the National Press Club yesterday. Here's why it matters. Finland and Sweden were the most recent countries to seek NATO membership. Finland joined in April, and Sweden is still awaiting approval. Longtime neutral Switzerland also began considering easing export controls on sending weapons to active war zones earlier this year. The National Guard State Partnership Program is a key military instrument for U.S. troops in order to build relationships with foreign militaries by conducting regular training and education exchanges with young officers. It partners National Guard units with host nations. The program can help foreign militaries better shape their own operations to reflect Western military organization and equipment. That is something seen as key to getting a host of Eastern European nations onto NATO standards to conduct operations. The National Guard program began 30 years ago after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Ukraine, in fact, was one of the first to join the National Guard program, partnering with California's National Guard. From the earliest days of Russia's invasion, Ukraine's Air Force has reached out to the California National Guard partners it trained with. And now here's some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin met with Papua New Guinea leaders yesterday to discuss developing the Pacific Island nation's military strength and deepening security ties. The meeting came as the United States competes with China for influence in the Indo-Pacific. Niger's president defiantly declared yesterday that democracy would prevail. That came a day after mutinous soldiers detained him and announced they had seized power in a coup because of the West African country's deteriorating security situation. More than 1,000 U.S. service personnel are in Niger. U.S. sailors could lose time off they earned during the pandemic under special leave accrual policy changes. And state media said yesterday that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un met with Russia's defense minister to discuss military issues and the regional security environment. And on this day in military history in 1914, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia, marking the start of World War I. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by Leo Shane III, Bryant Harris, and the Associated Press. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Roos. Have a great day.